Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. During our news roundup today, I came across this story saying that a Stanford professor, Carol Dweck, a professor of psychology who's spent 40 years researching, introducing, and explaining how to help children achieve a growth mindset, now says that kids who are praised praising kids for their effort has been taken wrong, and that it's in many ways can undermine this growth mindset. Well, to help us make sense of this change of opinion, I've asked Dr. Ray Guarendi to join me. Ray is father of 10. He's a clinical psychologist, public speaker, nationally syndicated TV and radio host. You know him, of course, as the host of Doctor Is In and Living Right with Dr. Ray, author of many, many books, and you can visit him at drray.com. Well, sir, how are you?
Well, I'm feeling a lot better. I think I need to be complimented like all the other Catholic radio hosts. We're all equal. We all have equal talent. We all have equal vocabularies. We're all the same height.
Are you trying? Are you trying hard?
That's all that matters. I just gave my best effort, and whether the bridge fell down because I got the wrong formulas in my engineering calculations, well, come on.
Talk to me about this, though, because, you know, offering kids praise is not a bad thing. I guess the question is, what is this Stanford professor repenting of, or is she saying that people just misunderstood?
I don't know her specifics, Al, but my guess would be that research has shown that when you give kids praise, just in essence for no reason, when your goal is to enhance their self-image simply by telling them how wonderful and great they are, you become a cause of their self-centeredness. You can't just go after self-image alone.
Yeah.
If you do that, you breed self-centered.
So one
Grandma,
way, go
Grandma
ahead.
Would have told you that. You know?
Would you
Grandma
say?
Could have told
yes,
you that.
Yes, of course. Of course. Yeah. But the praising for trying, at sometimes there are valiant efforts that deserve praise, I suppose. But trying generally and not achieving doesn't necessarily deserve praise.
I had a couple of grandparents call me, Al. Their little daughter was 10 or 11. She was in school. They had their Olympics day. She's not a fast runner. This little girl slogs.
Yeah.
She got a trophy because she entered the race. She gave the trophy back to the teacher and said, "I don't deserve this. I didn't win." You would have thought the teacher would have applauded her and said, "You know, little girl, you are more grown up than half the grown-ups." Yeah. Oh, no. The teacher called the grandparents and said, "I'm wondering if there's self-image problems." This is the kind of nonsense that can catch hold, get traction, Al.
Yeah.
It goes against any kind of level-headed sense. The problem is, and especially among us Christians, we shouldn't buy into this junk, because Christians know we're infinitely valuable because God says so.
Yeah.
I don't have to be the best at my soccer league.
Right.
I don't have to get the best grades.
Right.
None of that. God, I always say to people, God is not going to say to LeBron James, "Hey, are you LeBron James? Come on into heaven. You know, the way you can play ball.
I love you, man.
You're in,
yeah.
Yeah, you're in with me." No, it has nothing to do with this basketball.
Right, right.
But what it is, Al, I'll tell you, this is the self-image movement that began back in the 70s. And the notion was that as long as you make kids feel good about themselves, you will enhance their performance. It'll work in reverse. If I think I'm a great kid, I'm going to get better grades. What they didn't understand is that if you get good grades, you tend to think a little better of yourself. It's the grades that cause
right.
the raising and the self-esteem,
That's
not
right.
the other way around.
The achievement, yeah. I talked to a social psychologist many years ago now, and he had been doing primary research and discovered that people with serious criminal pasts have very strong self-images and self-esteem, and that the problem wasn't a self-esteem or self-image problem. It was a problem of adjusting to what goals ought to be worked towards. But it doesn't help necessarily to praise someone simply because they are trying, or because you just like them. They can internalize that and actually feel as though the rules don't apply to them. That was this fellow's point, that they have overweening self-estimate. And so the rules don't apply to them. So their criminal behavior is tied to that inflated sense of self.
Some years ago, my kids were in a church baseball league. Just to show you, Al, how this trickles down into all of society. They didn't keep score. Nobody knew the score except the kids. Kids knew the score.
Yeah.
Every one of the kids knew the score.
Right.
Then at the end of the season, everybody got a trophy because they breathed. I had three of my kids in the league at the time, and I told them, hey, guys, what do you think about this? You want to take that back? Did you guys win? Nah, Dad, we stunk. Well, okay, just tell them thanks for the trophy, but you don't need it. Just clutter up our house. They went back and tried to give the trophy back. They couldn't. It was not accepted.
Yeah.
I found out, Al, I don't really need to win trophies. I found out you can buy them. So what I do is I buy them, and I'm good at everything now.
Well, so, look, what do people say when they want to encourage very young ones to simply participate?
I would say, hey, guys, you're playing for the excitement, for the accomplishment of trying to win.
Mm-hmm.
If you win or you lose, it doesn't make a whit of difference about who you are or who you are in God's eyes. It doesn't matter. I would keep hammering that myself, because you got to counter this.
Keep the make sure their identity is not fastened on the achievement then.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'd say, okay, you know what I used to do? My son played some basketball. And I'd say, Petey, I got to help you out here now. I'm your dad. And I gotta affirm you. I'm a psychologist here. So I'd go up, put my arm around him, and I'd say, Petey, remember one thing. Don't stink the joint out. And he would laugh, because that's my way of saying, Pete, it doesn't matter.
Right, right.
Give it your best shot. You perform as best you can. I'm not going to get crazy like these other parents standing up here. And he would just laugh. And he'd look up at me sometimes, and he'd nod like, I know, Dad, don't stink the joint out. You got to counter it, Al. You got to counter it.
Yeah.
If you don't, if you just kind of go with the flow as a parent, it'll shape the way your kid thinks.
Yeah. Ray, thanks. Always good talking with you.
Okay. Yeah. I appreciate it. Thanks, Al.
Dr. Ray Guarendi, you hear him daily on the Doctor's Inn, and also weekly on Living Right with Dr. Ray. Nick mentioned the Pakistani Christian boy set on fire. He's now passed on. Burns over 55% of his body. He died forgiving his Muslim attackers. Again, we always want to make it clear that when we report on these stories, we're pointing out that throughout the Muslim world internationally, there are those who hold to a global jihadist ideology. They see Islam as supremacist, imperialistic, and exclusivistic. And they do see Christians and Jews as those who are worthy of attack. Now, having said that, I'm not saying that this is true in all particular instances, but we've got to at least ask, why do these acts occur? For instance, the Islamic State has a well-developed ideology that it's applying, and now attacked Jakarta in Indonesia. a series of explosions and gun attacks there. Jakarta is the capital of Indonesia. You had hours of fighting. It was in a major business and shopping district. Warnings came. Last year, warnings were given that Islamists were coming and they were planning a major attack. So when you go to Indonesia, they don't have any hard time talking about this global jihadist ideology because they don't suffer from the same kind of politically correct nonsense that we have in the United States. They can make distinctions. They can say, this is the Islamic State, this is the global jihadist ideology that they embody. There are 20 nations around the world now that have significant ISIS support, and you might say factions, chapters, if you will, in these countries. And they don't worry that by saying that, that they are condemning all Muslims. Why? Because they have lots of Muslims in the society there that are not part of the Islamic State. All right? In the United States, we haven't gotten to that point yet. So you've got, as the Philadelphia mayor said last week, this has nothing to do with Islam. It does have to do with Islam. The Islamic world is in a big civil war right now about the nature of their faith. I'm Al Cresta. More coming up.